And the third one is in the tenth name. That letter is a Zion. Tough, Shin, Zion. The exact year of the hangings at Nuremberg. Now imagine. Esther Hamalka. She's dictating to the cipher. She's telling the scribes, we're very proud. We wiped out Haman's family, those 10 sons, Yimach Shemom. We're so proud of this. Let's make a big, big Kiddush Hashem. I want them all in big letters, the big 26 font size. When you get to the tough, I want that one. When you get to the shin there, you know, but that's, when you get to the Zion, make that a little smaller. So they'll ask her, I assume they asked her, why? Esther, Lama, why? Just do it like that. Someday will be a discovery program. They'll explain everything over there. Tavshin Zion. Tavshin Zion. I never heard another pshat, by the way. Never heard another pshat. Why Tavshin Zion? To be different than anything else? It happens to be the year of the hangings at Nuremberg. Do tomorrow as they have done today. It's coincidence. Coincidence. It just happened to be those letters. The Tavshin Zion letters just happened to be those letters. Does that make sense? But if you go back to the calendar, somebody who is very astute will have a question. But as usual, if somebody asks a question, you honor the question, but that makes your argument even stronger. Watch. You go back to the calendar. Here's the Tavshin Zion. Go back to the calendar. And you take a look at this, and you say, wait a second. You told me that Aleph equals 1, and Beis equals 2, right? Tell me, what are these Tav Shin Zion? What do those letters stand for? So you say, Tav equals 400, right? You know what Tav is. We have it here, yes. Shin equals? You know it. Hello? 300. Zion equals?
Seven.
Yell at me, I'm from Brooklyn.
Seven.
Thank you. That's what I'm used to. Seven total, please. Not so loud. 707. Wait a second. That's pretty cute. But you told me it's 5707. It's not 5707. Not 5,700. That's 707. That's not the same. It's a good kasha. It's a good kasha. So you have to explain to them. And that's when the argument gets even stronger. You see, there are letters in the alphabet, and each one equals to a number. Gematria, Aleph equals 1, Beis equals 2, Tav equals 400. But Tav is the last letter of the Aleph Beis. Let's say I want to write 500. I want to write a nice check to Project Inspire, which is a very good idea, by the way. Excellent idea. So I want to write 500. Tav is the last letter. What am I going to do? I have to combine letters. I have to start taking a couple of letters. Let's say I want to write a nicer check to Project Inspire, $1,000. Many of you want to give $1,000 today. No, it's not an appeal. $1,000. $1,000. How do you write it? You can't write it. You have to write a few letters together. Let's say I want to write 5,000. Oh, boy. I'm really going to have a lot of letters to that. So if I wanted to really write 5,707, we'd have like a whole string of letters. They said, that doesn't fit on the butcher's calendar. So when we write calendars, we always leave off that first number. We assume you know which millennium you live in. And then that much we should know, right? So we've always written it that way. So we leave off the 5,000. We know which 1,000 we're in when the Tav Shin Zion portion. So actually, Tav Shin Zion, if they were writing in those days, has occurred several times in Jewish history. The first time, there was it 707. There was a year, 707. Right? How did they write it if they were writing in the year 707? How did they write it then? Tav Shin Zion. Now, 1,000 years later, 1707, how did they write that? Tav Shin Zion. And 1,000 years after that, in 20, how do they write it then? Same way. So how many times has Tav Shin Zion occurred in Jewish history?
Five.
Careful. Six. 707, 17, 27, 37, 47, 57. There have been six occurrences of Tav Shin Zion. Oh, I see what Esther did. Oh. She made Tavshin Zion. She knew something was going to happen in one of the Tavshin Zions. She was hedging her bets, you know, maybe it did happen, maybe it will happen. So she wrote Tavshin Zion. Now, you see, she wrote Tavshin Zion exactly the way it should be. See, there's the Tav, there's the Shin, there's the Zion, right? But there is one letter that is larger than all the letters. Only one letter, even larger than all the letters. That is the Vav. Tav, Shin, Zion, and the Vav. Vav, the gematria is?
Six.
There are four miss-sized letters there. Tav, Shin, Zion. Which one? The sixth one. The sixth one. There it is. Maybe it's a coincidence. Remember the courtroom photo I showed you before? Though the trial ended in June, right? In June 1946, sentencing was postponed because of appeals for amnesty. Wait a second. June 1946. Let's figure this out. June 1946. So what was the Hebrew year in June 1946? Tavshin Vav, because the year starts in Rosh Hashanah, September. So in June 1946, it was Tavshin Vav, 5706. Whoa. So what would have happened if they would have sentenced the Nazis when the trial ended? They would have been hanged in Tavshin Vav. And I would have been standing here saying, look how close she came. You see, it was so close. It was almost exact. Come on, be a little flexible. Come on. But Eibishter had a better idea. He said, June, it's a couple of months. Make some appeals for amnesty. It'll take a few months till they go through the process and that. Oh, okay, Tavshin Zion, time to hang him. Let's go. By the way, once we're waiting then, till then, they waited ready till October 16th, which some of you may have noticed was Shana Rabbah. According to the Zohar, it's the Yom HaDin for the whole world. Once we're waiting for Tavshin Zion already, let's do it right. You know? Amazing. Trial ended June 1946. Wow, we're in trouble. We'll wait a little bit. Tavshin Zion. Unbelievable. One final piece of this. Newsweek, October 28th. Nice, fine magazine that you should never bring into your house, whether it's in Muncie or anywhere else. That's my own political leaning. Take a look at what Newsweek... You can show me a note. I don't care. Oh, this, I know what you want. Yeah. Newsweek, what did Newsweek have to say about this? This is not Esha Torah. This is not Project Inspire. This is not Dar Sameach. This is nothing. This is Newsweek. Newsweek sent a reporter to the Nuremberg trials, of course. It's a big story. See the headlines in the New York Times? A huge story. What did Newsweek have to say about this? Look at the last paragraph. You won't believe it. The last paragraph tells us, only Julius Streicher, the Nazi, went without dignity. He had to be pushed across the floor, wild-eyed and screaming Heil Hitler. Mounting the steps, he cried out, and now I go to God. He stared at the witnesses facing the gallows and shouted, Purim Fest, 1946. Purim, of course, was the day that the 10 sons of Haman were hanged. Haman himself was hanged on Pesach. You should know. But his sons were hanged on Purim. This was in October. What does Purim have to do with October? Anybody here have a celebrate Purim in October? No.
Halloween.
Except for you.
Halloween,
that's pretty good. Amazing. Look what it says. He is connecting the hangings at Nuremberg with Purim. Julius Streicher. If Bilam's donkey can talk, so can Julius Streicher. He can make the connection for us. Amazing. How did he know this? One thing I tell you, Julius Streicher never attended a Discovery program. That's for sure. He never heard it from me, never from anybody. Bergstein, never heard it from anybody. What's going on? A coincidence. Coincidence. His last words out of his mouth, Purimfest. So what have we shown you today? We've shown you some very powerful information, I think, that has impressed maybe 250,000 Jews in the last 20 years, made many of them from. Pieces of this information you can use in conversation. You don't feel so comfortable with it. Get the tapes, read the books, study more about it. Just use a little bit. Go back to National Revelation. That's the Iker. Maamar Har Sinai is the Iker. We're coming before Shavuos. We have to know that is the Iker. Maamar Har Sinai is more powerful than anything else. 32nd Kiruv at the counter in the supermarket. Just ask them, how many religions ever claimed, not proven, claimed that God spoke to them? Only one. Who are they? The Jewish people. Go home and think about it. Giving you powerful information. But you've got to be able to use it. What a unfortunate circumstance that we're holding on to all this information without passing it over. When there is, as you know, a spiritual holocaust. I'm going to tell you a personal story, then I'll let you go. One of my favorite stories about what happened to me, and I think it just delivers the point. I'll tell you very quickly. I was walking in Borough Park one day, several years ago, and I walked past a shul in Borough Park, and all of you know Borough Park, and I'm walking past a shul, and there's a man standing out shul I never met in my life. Never saw him before. I don't think he ever saw me before. And as I walk past, he says the following thing to me. He looks at me and he says these words. Cholik, are you going to the funeral? Turned around, I said, excuse me? Are you going to the funeral? I said, funeral? What funeral? Funeral! Mr. Shachner, the funeral. Funeral. Mr. Shachner, I don't know Mr. Shachner. As a matter of fact, I don't even know you. Nor do you know me. Why would you be asking me if I'm going to Mr. Shachner's funeral? Exactly, it happened exactly like that. So he said to me, you should go to the funeral. I'm standing there like looking around for the cameras or something, like somebody's playing a trick on me or something like that. I should go to the funeral? He says, yeah. He says, it's right here in the shul. It's like somebody outside telling people to go into the funeral. I don't know. It's right here in the shul. So I said, there's something very strange here. I better go into that levaya. I mean, I turned around, I walked in. I don't know what I'm going to find there. I mean, you know, maybe they're going to mug me. I don't know what it's all about. I come in there, there's a levaya. I never heard of this man, Shachner. I didn't know anybody there. He didn't know me. I'm sitting there like on the back, like, I don't know what I'm doing here. The strangest thing. So I hear somebody giving a hesped, he's talking about this man. And then he starts talking about the mishpacha. And he says that Mr. Shachner had three daughters. And he mentions the daughters. I said, Gebalt. He said, I know the daughters. I know the three sisters. I didn't know that was their maiden name. I heard they lost their father. I didn't know they were all married. I didn't know their maiden name was Shachner. So I didn't know it was their father's levaya. I said, but, you know, at least they know who they are. I belong here in some level. Okay. So now I'm there. But what's really important is what this man said. This is what he said about Mr. Shachner. This man said, I want to tell you the truth, he said. Mr. Shachner was a beautiful, beautiful human being. He used to come to Davin and our shul every day. Every morning he came for Shachris. He was one of the staunch, committed members of the congregation, etc. One day, he says, I walked out of shul after Shachris, and I go across the street, and I see Mr. Shachner is waiting there at the bus stop. So I walked over to him, and I said, Mr. Shachner, he says, if you don't mind, he says, you're waiting for a bus here? He says, no. You're not waiting for a bus? No. No, I think you live around the corner, no? He says, yeah. You going to work, maybe? No. You're just standing here? Yeah. Standing at the bus stop. Okay, I walked away. The man says this, and I didn't understand exactly. I didn't want to pry too much. The next morning, I walked out. I see him again. He's standing there. The next morning, again, a few days like this. Eventually, the curiosity just got to me. I don't know why this man stands here for no reason. And I asked him, I said, Shuldig, if you don't mind, just to explain to him, why you stay? If you don't mind explaining to him, he said, sure, I'll be glad to explain to you. He said, I am a Holocaust survivor. I went through 6 years of horror. For Shteitzach, I thought I would never see the light of day again. Somehow, for some reason, I was spared. I lost my whole family. I lost everything. I came here alone. I got married again. I built up a family again. And I started thinking about, why am I thinking about myself? What's going to happen with the Jewish people? How are we going to rebuild? And I understood that there's only one word that is the most important thing to rebuild the Jewish people, and that word is education. We have to educate the youth. Educate them. Got to teach them. So while I'm thinking of this and I'm standing here, a school bus goes by. And it's full of Yiddish Kinderlach going off to Cheder. I said, that's beautiful. So I stood another minute, another bus comes by. And then another bus comes by. And bus after bus after bus. I couldn't leave. I couldn't leave. I said, this is the most beautiful sight in the world. So I started to count the buses. I don't know. So that morning, he said, I counted 32 buses. I saw from that bus stop, I watched 32 buses full of Kinderlach going off to yeshiva. I said, there's nothing more beautiful than this. Every day, I'm going to start my day like this. I'm going to come out of shul, I'm going to go to the bus stop, I'm going to stand at the bus stop, and I'm going to count buses. And that's what I do every day. I stand here, and I count buses. And if there's one bus missing, my day is ruined. All the buses have to come. That's why I stand here. So Rabbi said, that's why I stand here. And that's why Rabbi Bergstein stands here, and that's why Daniel Korn stands here. That's why anybody who ever got involved, we stand up for the same reason. One word, education. Education. That's what we have to do. We have the most valuable, most chashuv tzedakah in the world, but we have to use it. Project Inspire is here, and Baruch Hashem, in the last 2 years, we have thousands of people now giving over something, saying hello, bringing somebody in, inviting them to a lecture, a talk. Here's a book, here's a tape, here's a CD, here's a website, here's anything possible, that something you heard today. People are finally doing it, giving it over. On your seats is a very important piece of paper. We ask you one thing, please. We ask you, there are pens, a paper. Fill it out. Just fill it out. And what we're talking about here is, number one, a possibility of what we call home Kiruv training. It sounds fancy, sounds difficult. It's not. It's the easiest thing in the world. You get a few friends to come over. We send down Daniel Korin, and you'll be grateful to us for the rest of your life. Because it's just going to show you exactly how to do it. How do you say hello to somebody? How do you get the courage to say hello to somebody? How do you beat that fear? How do you answer a question? It's not rocket science. There's no Aristotle out there that's going to slug you up. What am I going to do? Where's Corin when I need him? Yeah, I'm going to teach you in a simple way how to do it. Invite a few friends to your house. You walk in, finished. You have a little check, finished. I'm going to tell you something else. There are other possibilities here. The second possibility is, which you can do both, of course, is that we have an unbelievable convention coming up in 2 weeks. The first time, we're going to have many hundreds of people together in a beautiful hotel in Stamford, Connecticut, just for Shabbos and Sunday morning, and there's going to be the greatest speakers in the world. Rabbi Bergstein's going to be there. I mean, could you imagine? And Rabbi Pesach Kron, and Rabbi Zev Lef, and Rabbi David Orlovsky, and Rabbi Viner, and Rabbi Rudinsky, and Rabbi Yaakov Solomon is going to be there. Yeah. And Rabbi Milstein, it's an all-star cast. It's unbelievable. And we're going to spend the weekend being inspired and learning techniques, hands-on, how to do it. And it's not even expensive. I don't know the exact price, but I know it's not expensive. And delicious food, everything, a la Milas. You think, I don't want to go to... Consider it. And the last thing I want to tell you is that even if you're not sure, this is very important, even if you're not sure, I'm not the type to fill out cards. I like to go home. That's what I'm good at. I'm good at coming and going home. That's basically what I like to do. Even if you're not good at it. So you don't have to, it's not a commitment. This is not a shvua, it's not a neder, it's not a shtar. All it is that at this moment, I'm thinking about going or having a home kiruv training. It doesn't mean that we're going to hound you and say, oh, well, you checked the box. You have to come, send the police to us, to Maple Road. We have to get these people to... Nothing's going to happen to you. Even if you're not sure, if you have a machshava toiva, then maybe, I'm considering doing it, check it anyway. We'll probably give you one call. We probably won't even do that. We're not that organized. And I shouldn't say that. All right. Somebody may call you.